are listening to Wells Tech, episode 612, recorded on Tuesday, October 8th, 2019. Be a social media maker. Wells Tech is a weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Today on the show, we talk about a maker fair, social media tips to boost your holiday church attendance, and a great interview with a social media manager from Time of Grace Ministry. All that and all the regular segments. I think you're going to enjoy the show this week. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs, and it is episode 612, recorded on October 8th, 2019. Joining me, as usual, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally.
Hey, Martin. I've been listening to a lot of Car Talk lately. Have you ever listened to the podcast called Car Talk?
Is it just in reruns, or have they resurrected it?
No, okay. It's only in reruns. So it's two guys out of Boston, Tom and Ray. I wouldn't be able to say their last name. They call themselves Click and Clack. They're on National Public Radio and have been for a long time. Actually, I think Tommy has passed away now.
Right.
So, but Car Talk generally starts with the fact that they're broadcasting from some special place. And today I'm broadcasting from the Mind Blown by Technology headquarters here in Milwaukee.
And why is that?
I have a story to tell, believe it or not. And that is my husband and I recently spent an evening at the Milwaukee Makerspace. So this is a concept we've heard about and is growing across the country where people kind of buy membership to collaboratively share kind of large equipment for making things. And actually, the membership price here in Milwaukee is only $40 a month. That's cheaper than a gym membership. And for that price, you get access to things like CNC machines and laser cutters. And they have an area where it's like a foundry, like blacksmithing tools. They have welding. They have screen printing. They have jewelry making. They have just about anything under the sun. It's just really amazing. And as if that wasn't enough to make this the headquarters of the Mind Blown by Technology location, there was a guy there who was pretty much a cyborg. It was shocking. So he tells the story of how they have a RFID system. I know many of our churches and schools are actually going to that kind of technology for security. You know, instead of door locks, you wave a fob in front of the thing and it recognizes the radio frequency or whatever is being transmitted. And he actually got a microchip with that RFID information to unlock the doors at Makerspace, and he had it inserted under his skin and his hand. So this man can walk up to the door and wave his hand and unlock it. And yes, my mind was blown by that. It was the craziest thing I'd
Raises
heard.
All kinds of questions, doesn't it?
It does. So just, you know, stay tuned, folks, because technology is changing all the time.
And weren't you telling me he can start his car, too?
Actually, his other hand has a Tesla microchip in it. And we watched a video. That's a pretty large object that
right?
he had inserted under his skin, and it will start his – it will unlock and run his Tesla. So yeah.
we normally don't have disclaimers on this show, but that probably requires one. Do not try this at home.
Not recommended by Wells Tech. But, you know, maybe 5 years from now, that's what we'll be talking about on Wells
There's
Tech podcast.
There's got to be a better way. I'm not shedding blood for that.
Yeah, the video was actually pretty graphic in the blood area. So not on my list of things to do anytime soon.
Well, let's return to the tame, but still exciting topic of technology, because we are talking about social media, and now is a great time to be talking social media, especially if you are a church, because you're hitting the church year and the holiday season, especially, and social media is a great way to get the word out about different things that are going on in your church, all the festivals, special services, all the special things that are going on, Advent by candlelight, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on. And we came across a nice little tidy article that helps us kind of think through the different options for media tips, social media tips for boosting your holiday church attendance.
Yep. And I think social media is here to stay, folks. And probably many of our listeners have social media presence, but having a presence on social media and doing social media well for your church are kind of two different things. Mm-hmm. You do have to put some effort in there and maybe be a little bit strategic about how you want to do it. I love the first tip in the article. It talks about creating a Facebook event. And that's something that I don't normally think
I don't
to
either.
Do, you know?
Right.
And that allows people to say they're attending, to share it, to connect around events like your Christmas Eve service or whatever it may be, and, you know, kind of organically grow the interest in different events that are happening in your congregation.
Right. It kind of acts as an invitation. You get a sense people can say, hey, I'm going, or no, I'm not, or mm-hmm. I'm, you know, on the fence, or whatever. I'm with you. I have not used this a lot, but I think it's number one here for a reason, because it just makes sense. And it's super easy to do. It takes all of 30 seconds to get this thing set up. So, and then you can kind of plot a calendar, and you can see the events across time, too. So, mm-hmm. good. The second one is a no-brainer as well. We've talked about this, and we've seen studies on this, and there's even references to it here. Use visual content to engage more people. Recent statistics on Twitter, tweets with videos are six times more likely to be shared than tweets with photos. And photos are probably X number of times more likely to be retweeted than just plain text. So you up your chances of, you know, making something a little bit more viral, getting something to spread a little bit better, or even just read by adding media in, images, video. And now with the tools that we have today, it's easier and easier to get this stuff into your social media stream.
Yeah, and coupled with that, point number three in the article talks about posting real-time videos. So perhaps you're decorating the church for Christmas or whatever it is. Those behind-the-scenes moments are really appreciated, and they don't have to be real long, but just giving people a look at what's happening in your congregation on any given day is very engaging. People tune in and comment and like your content, and then it gets shared mm-hmm. more broadly.
Right. So here's a quiz for the day. When were hashtags invented?
Hashtag,
I don't
know. You
don't have to look too far. It's in number four there.
Number four says they were invented by Twitter in 2007.
So they've been around some 12 years.
Yep.
Seems like just yesterday. But the importance of them, I think, is remains the same. I think hashtagging all the things is not a bad idea. It lets people share. It lets you aggregate those tweets. It just kind of gives an immediate brand to the event, and I think that's helpful to make sure that you can publish that and people can use that. And if nothing else, is friends see that, they say, oh, I wonder what that is. And then you can do a quick search on a hashtag, and away you go.
Yeah, I like how sometimes my things end up in a different mix of search results because of the hashtags. So maybe I'm not, mm-hmm. you know, smart enough to reach out to certain groups, but because of different hashtags, people may find me more organically.
Right. And there's tips for that. Shouldn't be too long. There's pluses and minuses to using anagrams that don't make any sense. So, for instance, Life Church Christmas Carols by Candlelight Potluck Dinner would be LCCCBCPD, not necessarily something
catchy.
That's going to catch on, right?
Yeah.
So be creative with it and make it part of your marketing approach or your strategic planning.
People
What's next,
it.
Sally?
Yeah. Next up, assign one person to handle social media.
Makes a lot of sense.
It does. Coming off an event like EdTech Lead that we had this summer, that's a good example where your message can get a little bit foggy if you have multiple people coming at it from different perspectives, or maybe things aren't timed as well as you'd like them to be and coordinated. So obviously you want someone who knows what they're doing. And I bet those people are in your congregation. Mm-hmm. There are people that you can tap into for this responsibility. I think about St. Paul's New Ulm, where our membership was previously. And I know some of the people involved with the social media efforts, and they're very consistent and timely with what they post, and they do high-quality stuff. So worth finding the right people and getting it zeroed mm-hmm. in on a particular person that can coordinate that.
Right. Number six should come as no surprise to anybody. Plan and coordinate your social media strategy. This tip talks a little bit about making sure that you are planning ahead and determining when is maybe the optimal time to hit these social media streams. There are good times and there are bad times, and there are also tools that help you get these out at the appropriate times when they're most likely to be seen. So there's obviously all kinds of different strategies you can apply depending on the platform, depending on who your target market is, et cetera, all kinds of demographic information. And this is as close as a Google search to determine what might be the best time to reach your particular demographic and on even on what social media platforms, too. That's all part of the strategy.
Yeah, I think people might read this and think, wow, that's a lot of work, or having strategies and using tools and things. And especially if you're just getting started, it may seem like you're preaching to the wind kind of thing, putting all this effort into strategizing around your social media. But I think consistency is the other piece of that puzzle. So you have your strategy and you do it, and you do it consistently over time. That's when you're going to see the results of this kind of work.
Mm-hmm. What's number seven, Sally?
Number seven says to keep privacy in mind. So when you're posting pictures or videos, especially ones that include children, you want to make sure you have permission from parents, permission to put things online from the people that are involved in them. Kind of a no-brainer, but definitely something worth being sensitive to.
Right. Just remember, these are very public things, and they're not usually erasable. So mm-hmm. you know, they're just sitting out there, and they can get legs of their own too. So just keep that in mind. Which kind of ties into the next one, the last one. Watch your words. It says, remember that social media is accessible to millions of people all over the world. Be careful what you write. Please don't fall into the trap of posting anything negative. No outbursts of anger, jealousy, or rage. And they quote Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Great advice, because those words do live on, and it's important to understand, you know, the power of those words. So take your time. This is not just something you dash off on your smartphone while in line at the grocery store. You want to put a little thought into a little planning, you know, maybe run it past a few people and make sure that it is seasoned with salt, as they say.
Definitely. I think a lot of it ties back to that point of assigning one person to handle that 0.5 in their list. And that one person obviously has to have discernment mm-hmm. and also respect enough to pass things, you know, in front of other people, that kind of thing. So that's a really pivotal position, and you want to make sure that they're fully trained and aware of different things. Another list I was reading recently said to not be afraid of controversy. So right. when you start posting on social media, you might get responses that you're not really hoping for. And you've got to have someone or the right team in place to have the proper response to those kind of things.
Yep. So we'll post both links to both of these articles, I think, extremely well done and helpful to take that thoughtful approach to your social media. And if you're just getting going, these are great starter kind of rules to live by, but there's all kinds of nuances and I think a good thing to have on your plate as you approach the holiday season here. Speaking of social media, Sally...
Yes, we have a social media related interview. We were fortunate. I was very excited to speak with Trish Nischke, who works with Time of Grace Ministry and coordinates their social media presence, which is quite extensive. Mm-hmm. It's impressive as we talk to Trish and she shares some of the stats and things associated. So we should play that interview, Martin. Joining us on Wells Tech today is Trish Nischke. She is the social media manager for Time of Grace Ministry. I'm sure that's a very busy and exciting role you play, Trish. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me. It is. It's wonderful.
Yeah. So that our audience can get to know you a bit, why don't you tell us about Trish, your job and family, whatever you want to share.
Sure. Well, again, my name is Trish Nitschke. I do social media and website, emails, and a whole lot more at Time of Grace. We're a nonprofit ministry, digital ministry. Absolutely love what I do because I get to tell people about Jesus and reaching especially a younger generation who honestly haven't heard of Jesus at all. So I feel very blessed every morning to get up and like, oh, I get to do this. This is great. I have 5 children, ages 10 to 16. So we have a very busy house. It's very fun watching them grow up. And yeah, so my days are pretty packed.
I bet you get this a lot, an innate relation to Ray Nitschke.
Well, Grandma says yes, and we don't argue with Grandma, but the reality is questionable.
Okay. It's better that it's a mystery anyway.
That's right.
It's a mystery to it. So you're presenting at a conference coming up in January, the Wells National Leadership Conference down in Chicago, on the topic of social media, which makes sense. Why social media? Why is it an important topic? Why are we devoting a workshop to it at the conference? And you know, why should our churches and schools pay attention to it?
Well, social media is really where people are at. So as time has evolved, like when radio came on the scene, that's where people were at, right? So So that's where the message needs to be delivered, or television comes on the scene. And now social media has obviously been around for a while, and it's a constantly morphing beast. And I often will talk about this in presentations about monsters. These are little monsters, and they need to be fed and cared for. And, you know, social again, that's where we're all communicating, whether it's on Instagram or it's Facebook or it's once a day or 25 times a day. It varies with the people, but that's where they are, and it's always with them, which is a huge benefit. So if I'm sitting at the dentist office waiting for my kids to get done, I can sit and read a Bible passage or do a daily devotion or be on a Facebook forum or any number of things to really be building my faith wherever I'm at. It doesn't really matter. So that's really awesome. It's where people are getting their recommendations. People are looking for a church, or they're looking for a dry cleaner, or they're looking for whatever it is, that's where they go. So we need to be in that space, whether you're a church or a school or a nonprofit, whatever it is, you need to be where the people are talking. So, because they are talking. They're going to talk whether you're there or not, but you want to be part of that conversation.
Excellent. So Martin mentioned that you have a breakout session at the conference, and it's actually 2 breakout sessions. I was reading up a little bit, and folks can choose one or the other. They can't really attend both. So one's titled Social Media, Your Ticket to Introducing Others to Jesus, and the other is 4 Ways to Reach More People Through Social Media. Who should be in those sectionals, and what's the difference between the two?
Well, both sessions will be offered at least 2 times. One of them actually might be offered 3 times. So the social media, your ticket to introducing others to Jesus, is a really good session if you haven't ventured into social media, are really kind of new to it, have a lackluster social media presence, or if you want to make sure that you're allocating your time and the resources that you have appropriately. So that's really kind of the audience that if you fall into any of those categories, this would be a really good session for you to be at. And what we're going to look at is what social media really is and what it is not. Because I think some of us who don't really live social media world have this perception of what it is or what it takes to do, and that may not necessarily be the case. So I'll go through the current platforms, what they look like, because it's not a one-size-fit-all deal. So Facebook, while your initial inclination might be, oh, we got to do a Facebook page, kind of because everybody does, may not be the right thing for your church or school. So we're going to look through all those current platforms, how they're used, what's worth your time. That's the big thing in all of these sessions is we're all busy. The reality is most people can't take, you know, an hour a day to sit and do social media, and you don't need to. it really can be a simple thing that produces a really good return on investment for whatever you're looking for. So that's going to be the first session, and that will be offered two times, I believe on Wednesday. And then the second session is four ways to grow and reach more people through social media. So this would be a really good session if you have some social media platforms, if you're ready to jump in and say, okay, we're going to at least do one platform and we're going to do it well. I might know somebody who can help us out with that. So we're going to look at four key areas. Getting a plan. What does your social media plan look like? Because you can't just set something up and it just happens. Knowing the investment. What does it realistically take to make this happen? So I'm a pretty straightforward person. I'm going to tell you the way that it is. And you're going to know, like, okay, this is really what I need to do, or I need to have somebody help me do this. Figuring out who's doing the work. Figuring out what you're actually going to do and what you can actually manage. What does your content look like? That is honestly the biggest challenge, is once you have these things set up, how do you create that content? Where does that come from? And there's a huge amount of pressure that comes with the content aspect of that. So we're going to spend some time on that. We're going to talk about responding to people on social media. What do you do with private messages? What do you do with public messages? What do you do with negative comments? That's always a big deal. How do you handle those kinds of things? We'll look at outreach. What are others doing right? This is, social media is not about plowing the way and setting the new path. It's about looking down what paths have been paved, how well were they paved, and boy, can I do that on my path, right? So we look at repurposing content, we look at what people are doing, and how you can replicate the successes that others have had. It creates a lot less work for you. And then finally, we're going to do a really super basic analytics. So you know what you're doing right. What are you even supposed to look at? Do we even care about the likes on our Facebook page anymore? Does the follower number on Instagram matter? Those kinds of things, just real general overview. I'm not a super numbers person, but some of those numbers are really critical. So that'll be the second session, and I believe that one might be offered three times.
Okay. Sounds like you're going to have to talk really fast. That's a lot.
I'm good at that.
That's a lot of stuff, right? Yeah, you mentioned a couple things that I'd like to unpack a little bit. One of them was the fear is, well, this takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
And I know that there are technologies and different tools nowadays and have for quite some time to help you with that. Any tools you can recommend right off the bat to manage a platform, or is there kind of a silver bullet that might help people help them with that whole process?
Yeah, and it really depends on how involved you want to get. If you're just going to do a Facebook page and that's kind of it, that's your level, totally cool. But then I wouldn't recommend a tool. Like, you can schedule so much now through Facebook ahead of time. You could even do Instagram stories ahead of time. You can do IGTV through their Facebook platform. You really wouldn't need a whole separate, you know, third-party tool to do that. Now, if you're going to do Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and you know, now it's like an and situation, then you might want to look at a third-party tool. And most of them are pretty reasonable. We use Sprout Social for ours to manage all of our accounts, and that works out pretty well. The only thing it doesn't manage for us is YouTube, so that's an organic scheduling thing for us, which is fine. Some people use Hootsuite. That's a possibility. And really, for most churches and schools, the very basic level of that is not expensive, but it's really nice, and sometimes you can get some really great simple reports out of that as well.
Very good. I guess just talking to somebody who's doing this on all these different platforms, and I think having some pretty significant engagement in what you're doing. Can you just kind of give us a little insight into what Time of Grace social media efforts are, what kind of numbers they produce, or even success stories that you perhaps could share?
Yeah, and we actually have a lot of success stories almost every day. It's really, it's very energizing. It's very cool to see people wanting to learn more about Jesus and how to strengthen their faith and dealing with sin and forgiveness and grace. And it happens every day. So to me, I get, you know, I see the private messages that come in and people who are struggling that we can help. But then the people who are like, wow, that video was really great. And you could sit and create content and say, well, okay, you know, we did the video or we sent out our daily grace moment. But what we don't always get to see is how that really impacts somebody personally. And so we do get a lot of those success stories. We love hearing it. It does our hearts very, very well to hear that. So as far as time and grace goes, in the past 12 months, we've had more than 12.3 million engagements just on our social media platforms. So that doesn't count. We have nearly 2 million viewers each month on our television program. So completely separate from the television program and our social media efforts, we have really ramped up on two platforms. One is Instagram and one is YouTube. So those have really become focal points for us. The change in Facebook's algorithm was a substantial impact in our ministry as far as views on our videos, and we had to change our strategy for how we were getting our messages out with the videos and how many people we could actually reach. So on Instagram, we have two accounts. We have our Time of Grace Instagram, and then we started an Instagram page for Pastor Mike Novotny as he came on as our new speaker for our TV program. And that has been a very fascinating deal to kind of manage the two pages, because what's happened is Pastor Mike's Instagram page has drawn significantly younger audience. In fact, the largest audience on his Instagram page is 13 to 17 year olds. Mm. Nearly 30% of the people who follow him are in that age group. And it's almost a 50-50 balance between male and female. So a lot of the private messages that come in are from young men dealing with a wide variety of issues. This is really, really interesting. And then Time of Grace Instagram skews on the older side. So it's more 35 to 65 is our really big demographic there. So the way that we communicate with people is just different, because you have different audiences. And Time of Grace Instagram, 75% women. So it's completely different. It's been awesome. We have absolutely loved to see that, especially with Mike's Instagram, that we're reaching those younger people. Some of them have had some church experience in their life. Many of them have not. In fact, I had a young man, he's 16, from Italy, send a private message, and the only thing it said was, I want to know about Jesus, I need to be saved. And I go, oh, woo, okay, how much do you know about the Bible, God, and Jesus? And he said, I know nothing, I need you to teach me. And I had a 2.5 hour private message exchange with that young man on a Friday night. Saturday was another hour and a half, and he told me, I went out and I bought a Bible today. Where do I start? And so if anybody's wondering if social is worth it, it's worth it.
That's worth it right there, just the one, right? Yep. Wonderful. Trish, we really appreciate you taking the time to share this information with us, and what a great introduction, and I'm sure that those that are going to be able to attend the National Leadership Conference and attend your sessions are going to get so much more. And it sounds like very practical information. That seems to be your goal, to give them something that they can go home with.
Absolutely.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you for joining us, and blessings on your ministry there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Trish. Always great to speak with somebody on the front lines, as they say, somebody who lives and breathes this stuff, has personal experiences that she can share, and reiterated a lot of the things that we read in those articles, too.
Definitely. So obviously you can find Trish at the Leadership Conference that's coming up in January. We'll have links in the show notes to information about her presentations. She's doing two different ones, and then registration information as well. I'm going to also include a link to Sprout Social That's something I want to check out. Mm-hmm. That's what they're using at Time of Grace to do their scheduling and things.
Yep, I had not heard of that. So yeah, that's good, good stuff. So mm-hmm. thank you, Trish, very much. Appreciate it. Blessings on your work and prep for the holiday season as well. News and Tech is the next segment on our little show, and it's all about Amazon for our News and Tech segment this week. Echo is everywhere and everything, according to Amazon, and they had a little, if I can find my, oh, I got to open the right link here, just mm-hmm. 1 second. They had a event about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and they introduced all kinds of things, and all of them had Echo in them. So it's not a surprise that Amazon is pushing their little voice assistant. So everything from eyeglasses that you've got Amazon Echo talking to you from there. Now, nothing that you see, but you hear. So it's kind of a unobtrusive way to have Alexa, you know, right in your, you know, right on your frames, so to speak. Echo Buds, so earbuds are really popular these days. I know Microsoft just announced their own Surface Buds, and Apple's had their iPods or earpods for quite a while. There's a smart oven that knows, so you can scan a particular barcode and it knows how to set itself so you don't burn your whatever. And all kinds of other, there's probably about 8 or 9 other things, including their traditional Echo Show and wall clocks and Echo Dots and microwaves and just all kinds of stuff. So you're, if you're into Echo, you have no shortage of things approaching Christmas here to consider, to put in your home or to give to that loved one. So we'll put a link to a CNET article on all the stuff that they've got.
Anything on your Christmas list from the Echo Sphere?
The earbuds are kind of intriguing to me. They're fairly inexpensive. Most of these things are actually fairly reasonable compared to what Microsoft and Apple charge. One nice thing about the earbuds is that they have noise, I don't think they call it noise cancellation, but some noise deadening technology in them, and they say that it works pretty well. So that might be something that would appeal to some folks. But it was $100 and something, so not bad.
All right,
we'll see.
Yeah,
some of the stuff isn't out yet, but it's all supposed to be out by Christmas time.
By Thanksgiving, probably, so you can drop it in your shopping cart.
Exactly. Yep.
Excellent.
All right. What's next on the hit parade here? Wells Now.
Wells Now, where we talk about events and happenings in the Wells sphere. And recently, I guess in September, Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary hosted their annual fall symposium. And the symposium topic this year was all about apologetics. Apologetics, responding to arguments hostile to the claims of Christianity and presenting positive arguments that vindicate the claims of Christianity. And it is a very timely subject, Martin, as the world that we live in is becoming more and more hostile to Christianity.
Right.
And so they brought in some people who have only done ministry in this 21st century, this new worldview that we're faced as we try to do outreach and things like that. One of them, Pastor, his first name escapes me, Michael Berg, did a paper, an introduction to and defense of apologetics, that was the lead off essay that was presented at the symposium. And we have video of the entire symposium, including his essay and others that were presented. And he will also be at the Lutheran Leadership Conference. Wow, it's like a happening place.
Everybody's going to be there.
Yeah, and his topic, of course, goes right along with what he presented at the seminary symposium. It's titled Christian Apologetics in Lutheran Ministry. And I think many of us could learn from what Pastor Berg has to share. So good stuff.
I've heard him speak. He spoke at our congregation's Bible Fellowship Hour. He was there for 4 weeks and basically, I think, presented the same thing he presented here. Very, very intriguing, lots of things to think about. I think it would be well worth a few hours of your time to kind of watch through these. And if so inclined, go to the Lutheran Leadership Conference as well, right down here, down the road from our location here. So they're in Chicago.
Pastor Berg is a professor at Wisconsin WLC, Lutheran College.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right here.
Okay.
Milwaukee.
It's great, Sally, that some of these things get a wider viewing now, that it gets recorded and live streamed. That's awesome. There's so much to share, and it's nice that some of this stuff gets online. So mm-hmm. Let's move on to our picks of the week.
My pick of the week comes from one of my favorite vendors, TechSmith. They're the people behind Snagit and Camtasia, which is image and video capture and editing software, both very well done, very intuitive to work with, and to help you out as you are creating more and more visual content to share. They have launched a brand new TechSmith Academy where you can get free courses. The featured course that I wanted to share today is titled Advice from Experienced Learning Professionals for Anyone Creating Training. So it's a little short 19-minute course. They were actually at a conference titled Training, Learning, and Development Conference, and they interviewed 14 different experts in creating training. And so this is kind of a synopsis of their best tips and things if you are in that position of creating training. And even if you're in a traditional church school role, just like we talked about with social media, there are more and more opportunities to use visual content to share your message. And certainly we want to do that. We want to share the good news. So good to learn from these experts in that realm. And it only takes about 19 minutes of your time to watch the video, and it's free to watch. So they include some extra content with the course, things like the video creator's guide to working with subject matter experts, understanding measurement for video. And then they have links to full interviews with these experts. So not just the snippets, but you can get mm-hmm. to the full stuff as well. So check it out. Check out TechSmith Academy. It's a place where you can learn professional techniques, and all for free.
Remind our listeners what tools, software products TechSmith provides to us.
They are behind Snagit and Camtasia. So Snagit is great for capturing and editing images, and actually has some video
Shorter video, right?
Capabilities as well. And then Camtasia is a full-fledged video creation and editing software that will allow you to publish in all different formats and different mm-hmm. platforms and things.
Yep, very good. Big fans mm-hmm. of
TechSmith. For sure.
Yep. My pick of the week is actually a result of the frustration that I had with the latest Apple iOS, iPhone, mm-hmm. and iPad release. They upgraded, quote unquote, to version 13 of iOS. And one thing that I was disappointed in is it broke a piece of the Wells app. The Wells app allowed you to play audio when you went to the daily devotion or through my Bible reading. You just tapped a button and off it went. Unfortunately, with this latest update, background audio was disabled for what we're calling progressive web apps, which is what the Wells app is, which is a problem because you have to keep the screen open for the audio to continue to play or it goes silent, and that's a problem. But there are other things that iOS brought to the table that we could use to get that audio playing in a different form, and that's shortcuts. Talked about shortcuts in the past. Basically, it's kind of like macros. Those of us that have been around a while know what macros are. It's just kind of automated things, automated scripts that can automate repetitive tasks. And one thing that shortcuts tend to do is reach out to the internet and pull down an audio file and play it for you. So I was playing around with shortcuts the other day, and I whipped up one that would actually play through my Bible readings and daily devotion. That was I did that a while back, and I think I talked about that in the show. But this just makes it real easy to, with a button press on your iOS device, to go ahead and play that, or say, I have to be careful with the wake word here, hey, the lady in the phone, play through my Bible or play daily devotion. And she'll go off to the internet and play her little shortcut. And then you get to hear the daily devotion or through my Bible. So I put a blog post together. We'll link to it in the show notes, which shows you, gives a link where you can download that to your own iPhone. There's a neat kind of feature within shortcuts that you can share them. So you can get this on your own phone without any hassle whatsoever. Or I even included the instructions there, basically a screenshot of how I did it, and they're really simple, so it's not a hard thing. So if you are technically inclined, want to do it yourself, you want to be a maker, you can do it through this blog post as well. So that's my more tip of the week. So
be a maker without implanting.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. I suppose we could figure out how to implant that, where you tap it on a RFID something and out pops a daily devotion or whatever. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Ministry resource, Sally's next.
Ministry resource. Today we're going to talk about an article that highlights 5 audio Bible listening options. So reading your Bible on your mobile device is a great thing to do, but listening to it may be even better, especially if you're driving a car and reading's mm-hmm. kind of hard. So what's cool about it is you don't have to pay for this. There are many free options for listening to audio from a Bible app. One that springs to mind for me is the Bible app from Live Church. It's also known as the YouVersion Bible, and that has audio built right into it. There's a little speaker icon on the screen as you're looking up any text, and you can press the button and it'll begin the audio version of the text. But they actually listed 5 in the article, including Dwell, Bible.is, Olive Tree, and Logos, who all also have audio connected. I believe all of them are available for iOS and Android, and a few also work online through a web browser on your computer, and a couple even are available for Kindle Fire. So if you check out the article, all those different links are available in the article, and you can even watch a video where they kind of walk you through the interface in each of those different apps. So you can set it up or see how to make it play for you.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. All right.
No excuse.
No excuses. Community feedback.
Yeah, a couple of things to mention here. One is that apparently October is National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Who knew? It's always something going on. But it is good to be aware of cybersecurity issues. My inbox just continues to be flooded with a lot of different people sharing why it's important and how people are having difficulties because of it. Most recently, I've heard of a lot of different school districts who've gotten attacks with ransomware where they're mm-hmm. losing all their data and things like that. I also heard of a hospital that virtually shut down because they lost access to their patient records and things. So pretty scary stuff when you consider it. And certainly our churches and schools have data that needs to be protected. So this website, KnowBefore, it's KNOWBE and the number 4. KnowBefore, they're kind of leaders in cybersecurity awareness and that kind of thing. They actually have a free resource kit that they'll send you with different infographics and training materials and things like that that you can share with your users, whoever they may be. For instance, they have a particular infographic or poster basically with complex password guide where they kind of walk you through how you can figure out and contrive a complex password that will be a lot less likely to be broken by anybody who's hacking and trying to guess the password. So that's just one of the things that they send you. I signed up and got the information by email, and there's all kinds of great stuff here, PDFs of tip sheets and think before you click posters and trust no one posters and things like that, just to kind of make people think and be aware of cybersecurity dangers that are out there. All right. Next up in community feedback, just a reminder to our listeners that October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And if you are in a bind and need some ideas for great pastor appreciation, recognition, whatever it may be, you can always turn to Pinterest. That's the website I think of for such things.
Me too.
Search for Pastor Appreciation Ideas. We'll include a link to that in our show notes. But there's lots of great ideas and examples out there of all kinds of things that people have done for their pastors to show appreciation.
Please do that. Yep. Mm-hmm. Next.
And a couple of links to share from the Wells Intersections group on Facebook. A very lively community, particularly Pastor James Aderman heads it up and is always sharing and starting discussion topics around different ways to use technology in ministry. He linked recently to the Carissa Nelson worship art area. Carissa is a Wells artist, wife of a Wells pastor, who does a whole series of worship art packages that are available for purchase from our website. They have both print versions and versions that are suitable for projection screens that kind of match up. So if you're doing a series, she follows along with the church year, you can potentially use Carissa's art. And then he also linked to an interesting infographic. It's titled Email Marketing Tips, 8 Tips for Mobile-Friendly Email Campaigns. And he commented, probably the most interesting thing from the graphic that he got was 67% of emails are opened on a phone. Mm-hmm. And, honestly, that's my preferred place to open and get through my email, things that get backlogged or whatever. I kind of save them for time when I can just sit with my phone and make it through them. And so that tells us that our email should be mobile-friendly. And this infographic gives different tips to do that. Pastor Aderman said his big takeaway was links need to be buttons. So if you think about it, on a small screen, clicking on a little tiny hyperlink in text is sometimes difficult. Also filling out forms and things with small mm-hmm. buttons and stuff is difficult. So many mobile-friendly sites that you see have buttons in place of links and stuff. So something to think about as you're designing email for your church or school.
Not just email, too. Basically, any website or any online material, chances are people are not viewing it on a traditional, 32-inch monitor. So you have to kind of account for that and design for that. So, and test it, of course.
Definitely.
So, Sally, our video of the week?
Our video of the week circles back to Wells Now. We have a video to feature from our Together team where they interviewed Pastor Michael Berg about his symposium discussion on apologetics. So check out the Together coverage of the symposium.
Very good. Coming up next time we meet, we are going to be welcoming back Professor Rachel Feld from Martin Luther College EdTech discussion. We do that once a month during the school year. And we're going to be talking about the 4 shifts protocol. It's not, has nothing to do with car talk either.
4 on the floor.
Right. And then we also are going to interview Eric Nelson, who brings to us fanschool.org. I forget which it is, but fantasy football classroom style. So you're not going to want to miss what that's all about as well. So all about education next time we meet. So thanks for being here. Really appreciate it. Have a blessed week, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.